know, I got more cords on me, I'm telling you. But we do appreciate everybody being here. You know how it is to worship in a congregation where there is no young people tonight, because they're all gone, probably with adults and children. Probably somewhere between 25 and 30 people are gone, so that makes a big knock out of our number here. But we're glad that they're able to go. I think they're going to Mount Carmel, isn't it, tonight? Is that right? I think so. So they get the blessing of our young people and some that wish they were. But remember them in your prayers, if you would, as they are down there. The young men are speaking and trying to improve themselves and become better at that, and so also the young ladies. We're very, very fortunate to have a lot of young ladies that participate in this, and they do a good job. We just need to be sure we thank them. A lot of times we thank the young men, but we need to thank our young ladies for what they're doing too, because they are doing a great job. And I am singing, I'm telling you, this is worth the $50 per couple to hear that. You may not ever hear it again. You may not want to hear it again. But I want to encourage, you'll have a good time if you go to that. It's something where the preachers are going to have a lot of fun. There's several of us that are going to be participating in that. And so it's something where you get a meal and you get some entertainment, find out about Heritage University and what they're doing. And this helps them. They'll ask you for money, but if you've got it, give it. If you don't, then don't. We'd love for you to go and just sit down and have a good time and laugh at people. Now, you're going to laugh at those other preachers. I'm serious about this myself. Yeah, you know how serious I am. In James 5, James is trying to, he's talking to people, and some people say that this passage here is talking more to those people that are not in the church, but I just don't see that. I think he is talking to them, but in a great way, he's talking to those people that are in the church. Because whatever sins you have in the world, you're going to have within the church. And so you've got to deal with those things. So here James is trying to help these people and to understand a very important lesson. He's talking about how to use riches. And we all need to hear that. Now you may sit here today and say, well, I don't have to worry about this. I could take a nap because I'm not rich. Rich is a relative term. And you may have a relative that's rich too. But riches is something that we have. It's talking about how to use what we have. You know, you can cheat in a little or you can cheat in a lot if you want to. Now, we see some people in our society today that they cheat in the big ways. We see them as they are able to rob and steal and do it in a legal way. Do you know that the interest rate that we're being charged now on some of the items that we buy, they used to arrest gangsters for charging that much. And it's gone wild. So we see all this, and sometimes we think when we talk about rich, we're talking about other people that have a whole lot of money. Well, you know, you can be just as covetous over a dollar as you can over $1 million. And we have to understand that. I've got to look at how I use my riches, how I use what I have in the right way. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us are going to have to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account for how we've used what we have in this world. How we've used our money, how we've used our time, how we've used our talents. We're going to have to stand there and give an account. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you that to warn you, so that we can be prepared for that. So here, James is trying to get this across. He's trying to help people to understand it. He really starts out in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He's talking here about those that that might not have a lot, and he gives them some warnings. But in verse 10, he says, "But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away." Let me tell you something. I think some of you talked about this morning in Bible class, how that we've seen funerals for people that had millions of dollars, people that were so rich they could never ever spend all of it. We've seen funerals for people who were very popular with the whole world, and the whole world just stopped almost when they passed, and people just cried. And what are they going to do? Well, it doesn't make any difference who you are. You're going to, all of us are like flowers, and we're blooming for a while, and then we die. Now, it's wonderful to see this time of the year where you see all these flowers that are just putting out. And all I know in our neighborhood, we have a lot of dogwoods. And boy, those things are just as white as they can be. I hope they survive the next freeze that we're going to have if we have another one. But you see all these things, and they're very beautiful. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. They're gone. That's the way we are. He goes on in verse 11 there, said it's kind of like the grass in the field. It's green and it's great, but then it goes away and it's no more. So we have to be careful. He's warning and trying to warn people that are rich. He's warning those that are in the world. But let me tell you something. The warning is to every one of us. Whatever you have, God has given you that for you to use. Now maybe you say, you know, if I had a lot more money. Well, I used to wish I had a lot of money. But I don't know, I might get myself in trouble if I had it. There's no telling what kind of person I'd be. There's no telling what kind of life I'd live. I feel sorry for some of these young men who play sports and they get $100 million a year or every 5 years or every 10 years. And you see some of them that their lives are so messed up because of drugs and because of what they're doing. And we say, what is wrong with that? What if you had $1 million when you were 20 years old? Where would you be? In the ground? Probably. Many of us would be. Now, there's a few people that know how to use money. But I'm going to tell you something. Riches and wealth will use you. And it will use you in a great way. Now, if you are rich, use your money. That's what you've got to do. Use your time, use your talents, and use your money. I don't know. I was talking with some preachers the other day. And they said, you know, I just hate to preach about giving. I said, it doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all. That's a part of the Bible. It's just like anything else. It's a part that can cost a person their soul also. And anything that can cost a person their soul needs to be preached about and talked about. Now, I don't know why. I guess preachers don't preach about it because they're afraid that everybody thinks that they're going to get all the money. It doesn't work that way. If I get my hand in the collection plate, they're going to slap my fingers and tell me to let it alone. In fact, in the Church of Christ, they keep preachers totally away from money at all. They don't want them to touch that. I've offered to be the treasurer before, and they said, no. You can't do that. And they looked at me like, do you think we've lost our mind? Well, you know, that may be the case, that I've lost my mind, and they haven't lost theirs. But wealth is something that we need to use and use in the right way. He's trying to turn the attention of the wealthy on their wealth because it can cost them their eternal soul. And they need to be careful about that. We can see that it's not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament we can see this. In Judges, Isaiah 10, verse 1 through about verse 11 there, it talks there about how that we are to treat those people. And it talks there about how that God is really, I need to mention just a little bit of that, how God is warning people about how they treat those people that do not have a lot. Now look at what he says in verse 2. And he's giving a warning here. It's one of those woes, verse 10, chapter 10 and verse 1. And then he comes down here and says, to rob the needy of justice. To take justice away from those that are needy. But also to take what is right from the poor of my people. God said, I'm going to judge you for that. You're going to have to give an account for that. And this is not the only time that he says that. He says it in many places, trying to warn his people about doing right by those that are poor, helping them, doing what they can for them. And if they do not, they're going to have to give an account for it. Now, some people rob people that are poor. And we can see that. And we know that that happens. But what we've got to do is to be careful that I'm not the one that does that. That I'm not the one as a child of God that I'm going to be willing to do that. And he goes on to talk about this. What will you, verse 3, what will you do in the day of punishment? What are you going to do if you've mistreated, if you've taken money that's not yours and you've taken it away from poor people and you've used it for your own wealth and you've done that? And we've seen some of this in the Ponzi schemes and all the stuff that's going on now. Sometimes you see these people on television, they're selling everything under the sun, and most of the time it doesn't work. And they're taking money from poor people. Now you say, well, they should be intelligent enough to know not to do that. Well, they shouldn't be tempted, and we shouldn't bring temptation in front of them. And so here the warning is from God, you better be careful, because one day you're going to have to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account for that. Now we could go on and read more and more about that and what it's talked there about in Isaiah, giving the warning there, the warning that needs to be. James starts in these first three verses, and what James is trying to do is trying to help people to understand that there's a judgment against people who do not use what they have in the right way, who misuse that, who cheat others, but not just those that cheat others, but those that don't use their money in a right way. Have you ever heard about, it astounds me, there was a lady, I think she made like $20,000 or $30,000 a year all her life. Do you know, this lady, in using what she had, gave over $1 million to a college. You say, how in the world did she do that? Well, she used it wisely. Sometimes we look at people that have money and we think, boy, they were just in the lap of luxury. Maybe what they did is they used what they had in the right way. And I'm going to tell you something. Try this sometime. You try outgiving God. You can't do that. You try giving to God like you should. And we're going to study about that in a few weeks. I want us to do that. I think we need to do that from time to time. But you try outgiving God. You try giving what God deserves and see how it goes for you. It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Don't try to do that overnight. I was talking with a friend of mine, and he said, the preacher talked about money, and he said, I was a new Christian. I didn't know anything about it. And he said, he told me, he said, I went to him and said, preacher, wait a minute. I'm not giving 10%. I'm not giving anything like 10%. He said, I thought if I threw a dollar in, it was okay. He said, well, if that's all you have, then it's okay. But do you have more? He said, yes, I do. He said, well, listen, try to learn how to do it. But he said, don't try to learn how to do it next Sunday, okay? Take it easy. Get into it. Kind of increase just a little bit and increase just a little bit more. Sometimes we think, I've got to increase this all this Sunday and I don't see how we're going to do it. Try increasing a little bit at a time and it'll help you a great deal to be able to raise your contribution, to be able to use your money in the right way. Now, this is something that he's trying to tell them. He wants them to understand it in these first three verses that judgment is going to be against them, that God is going to be in their face about it, and they need to understand it. Then in verses 4 through 6, he addresses those people about particular sins, and he shows them particular sins that maybe they were committing, and he could mention a host of others. But he's just trying to say something. Maybe that was the predominant problem in the church at that time, that brethren were dealing with at that time. Now, look at this. He is speaking to those that are rich. That there's no way around that. Listen to what he says in verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your misery that are coming upon you. He's saying, listen, this is how you need to act. If you trust in your riches, if you depend on your riches, you better get ready and you start working now about weeping and about howling, about crying, about mourning because of what you have, because he said that's what's going to happen to you. That's what the judgment's going to be. And so here he's trying to warn and help these people to understand it. He's saying this to those that are rich. Now, remember, rich is a relative term. And so what we've got to do is to look at what we have. Because really, we're very rich people. If you've traveled much in the world, this country has a great deal of wealth. I mean a great deal of wealth. And we need to use that. We need to use what we have in the right way. And we'll have to give an account for that. He said, I want you to understand, and a part of this is to those people that have been taken advantage of. The poor that are being used in the wrong way, to the poor that are having what they have taken away from them. And he's giving a warning here, but he's giving comfort to those people that are there. He's saying, understand something, those people that are taking advantage of you, one day they've got to stand before God and give an account. Now, judgment is not ours. Judgment is God's. We need to leave the judging up to God. But what we've got to do is to look at our fruits in our lives today. God judges. God will condemn. I don't have to do that. I don't have to condemn somebody because they're not using their money right. God will handle that. And maybe they're using it better than I understand how to use it. But they're trying to use that. He's giving a warning and he's giving comfort. He's giving help to people. He's saying what you've got to do is understand if you're rich, you be careful how you use what you have. You be careful how you treat other people. You be careful how you deal with other people. Now, we're living at a time when luxury is just so, I mean, have you seen some of these shows on television? Maybe, I was trying to think of one. Oh, maybe it's New York, the real estate ladies that sell all that stuff and guys. And you look at that, and we're looking at an apartment, you know, with maybe a 1,000 square feet, $5 million, you know. Well, I guess the market will bear. I just don't know if I could live in a place like that, knowing how other people live. I mean, you don't have to have that. You look at some of the houses of some of the people, and just, I mean, it just comes up. They've got, you know, here's a man and his wife, and they've got 55 rooms and 85 bathrooms. That poor woman's working herself to death cleaning those bathrooms. That just worries me. I told Linda one time, that's the reason the president only runs for 4 years. There's 50-something bathrooms in that house. I said, that woman is worn out from cleaning those bathrooms. She said, she don't clean those. Well, I understand that, so you got to have servants. So you hire your servant to do this, and you hire your servant to do that. You have children, and some are even able to hire people to have their children nowadays, you know. You don't even have to do that. No stretch marks. So you can hire somebody to have your baby for you, and you don't have to go through all that. And you can hire a couple of people to raise that child, and you don't even know anything about them. And you see, that's the wealth that's there. Some people have so much. So much. And what are they doing with it? It's all spent on me. It's all spent on what I want. It's all spent on my desires. But you know, let's go from the wealthy to us. How do we use what we have? You say, now wait, I don't have $1 million house. It's just a, you know, 5-room house or 6-room house or 4 or 5, whatever. I don't have that. Well, but how are we using what we have? How are we giving to God? How are we helping the poor? What are we doing for those people that are in need? How are we doing that? How are we using what we have? You know, it doesn't make any difference if you're covetous over $1 or over $1 million, you're still covetous. It's the wrong heart that you have toward money that's the problem. And it can be little. Sometimes people that don't have a lot think, oh, I can't be covetous. Oh, yes, you can. And it should not be. We shouldn't be that way. We need to use what we have. And he's warning those people that are rich here. He's saying one of these days you're going to have to give an account for it. In Luke 6 and verse 4, he talks about there the people that trust in their riches. And Mark's going to talk about that in the Beatitudes. Don't do that. Don't trust in your riches. Don't depend upon that. Because if you do, you're trusting in something that may not be there. It may not be there for you. Then, look as he talks here also in this about James the second chapter, or James 1 verses 2 and 3. And here what he's trying to do is help us to understand, you know, about wealth and what kind of wealth that we have. And he explains that to some of them there. You rich are corrupted, and your garments are nothing, are moth-eaten. And then he goes on to talk about your gold and your silver. They're corrupted, and those things are corrupted. Those things are, they are a witness against you. Now, one passage in the Bible talks about that those things that we have are like a rust, and we'll have to give an account for those things, how we use them. Now, their wealth at that time was not in the CDs that they have. It wasn't in all the things that were there. It was mainly three ways that they judged their wealth. And one of it was in the riches of the clothing that they had. How rich were their clothing? Remember the rich man in Luke that he had wore purple, had all that great wealth. The fellow that said, oh, I've got great barns, I've got all these things, his wealth was in his grain, was in what fruit he had, you might say, or what grain he had, what goods he had. And then some, their wealth was in gold and silver. And he talks about this, and he talks about how that, you know, if you've got these garments that are very beautiful and they're very wonderful, they're going to rot, they're going to be nothing. And then what do you have? Moths are going to come in and eat those. He talks about the silver, you know, and you know, I see a lot of people that have silver sometimes. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Don't think I'm saying if you've got silver in your house, oh, you're terrible people. That's not it. But I've seen what people go through to make it look like silver, you know. I've seen ladies that wrap that stuff in some kind of paper. I don't know what it was. And you have to clean it and all that. And sometimes Linda had some, and she said, get in there and clean it. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to clean it, you know. I don't want to do that. It tarnishes all that stuff, and we take care of it. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But if you've got all those things, and you're not helping the poor, and you're not giving to God, you're not doing that, please understand that one day, all that tarnish is going to come up against you. All that wealth that you have is going to come up against you. And he's saying here, you know, whatever you have, all the grain that you have, if you try to keep it for yourself and you don't try to use it, you don't try to get it out, it's going to rot on you. It's going to rot on you. So you got to be careful how you use that. The garments, the grain that we have, and not only that, but also we've got to see here that he's giving a warning to everybody about their wealth. And what they have. Now, their wealth was one thing. Ours may be something else. How do we use that? How are we going to use that to the glory of God? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to use everything we have to the glory of God. Because, you see, we're Christians. I can understand people in the world gaining more, wanting more, having more. But what about us as Christians? Let's use that. And you know, I get kidded about driving a Corvette. It don't bother me at all. If you knew how much money I had in that thing, you'd cry for me. Okay? Because you can put more money in those things you can ever get out of them. But that's no big deal. I don't worry about that. I'll drive it. I'll sell it. I'll use it. Whatever. But I can't let that be something that just takes over my life and guards my life. We can let a lot of things come between us and God, and that's something that we don't need to do. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your house, your children, whatever it is in this world. If it comes before God, then we're taking something that could be good and use it for something that's bad. We got to use it for what's right. And we got to do what's right with it. So he's here giving a warning about the wealth. And he's saying here, be careful about those things. Be careful about your gold and silver. He's not saying don't own any of that. He's not saying it's sinful if you have that. That's not what he's saying. You miss the purpose of it if that's what you're looking at. He's saying you own it. Don't let it own you. You use it. Don't let it use you. Don't let it be something that can destroy you. That wealth that's there. And then he starts talking here and trying to help people to understand it. Verses 2 and 3. Verse 4 and 5, 4 through 6 here, he really wants us to see the sin that is committed. He wants us to understand what's wrong about this. Now, look at what he says in verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cries out. Now, here you hire somebody to do a job, and you figure a way to cheat them. Now, years ago, they had people who maybe they used them in a mill or something, and I know that some places did not do this, but some places did. They charged them exorbitant prices when they went down to the store that the company owned to be able to buy the stuff that was there. And you could only buy from the company, and they made sure that they cheated you out of that money that they paid you as a wage. They cheated you out of that. Listen, one day those people are going to have to stand before God and give an account for that. If you hire a fella, you pay him the wage. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, and you go back in the Old Testament to Leviticus 19, verse 13, it says, don't beat those people. And you read this, it doesn't say exactly the words I'm using. Don't beat those people out of their wages. and you pay a man. In fact, under the Jewish law, you had to pay a man that day. You could not pay him the next day. You had to pay him that day because, you see, we have stored up stuff. But a lot of them, they went from day to day. Now, we might go from week to week or from paycheck to paycheck, but they went from day to day. If they didn't get paid today, their family would go without food. And they had to have it. Now, we operate a little bit different today. But they said, you got to pay them because they have nothing else. They have no other way. And he talks about the Lord of the Sabbath here. He's talking about God's looking over this and understand that. God's looking over how we use what we have. Now, when preachers say that, everybody goes, oh, that's scary to know that God looks at me. It's scary if we're not prepared, if we're not doing what we need to do. Do you mind if your boss sees what you do, if you're doing what you're supposed to do? You say, yeah, I'm a little scared about that all, you know, no matter, I know I'm not doing anything wrong, but it really bothers me. Well, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, don't be afraid because you're doing what's right. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, not only are those that are the bosses need to be careful, but those that are employees need to be careful too. The Bible tells us that a man is supposed to render a day's work for that pay that he gets. It's wrong to take salary and not do your job. Take your salary, but you do your job. And you make sure you do your job, no matter if your boss doesn't see you. God sees you. And that's the important thing. When God sees us, that's more important than any... I don't care what the boss says. I care what God says about it. And if I can please God, then I'll try to please the boss as much as possible. And sometimes with some bosses... it's impossible to please them. That's just the way it is. Well, that's okay. You please God and try to please your boss if possible. And so here he's giving a warning to them. He's saying you need to act right. You need to do what's right. Look at verse 5. He said, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have, you're like a fatted calf, a fatted heifer. All right, now, some of you have taken cows and you know that you're going to slaughter, and you bring them over to the side and you put them in another pen. And you may, you know, I can remember Daddy taking pigs and put them over here, feed them corn and all that stuff for several weeks before they meet the plate. We understand that. He's saying, listen, you people that are rich, that are using your riches for yourself, that are stealing from others, that are mistreating others, and you're not using it for God's glory, understand what you're doing is you're becoming a fatted calf and you're going to stand before God one day. Should I say for the slaughter or the judgment? Could be both. He said, understand you're going to give an account. Wealthy people are going to give an account. But those of us that are wealthy, maybe our wealth is not as much as someone else's, we're going to have to give an account too. And we need to use what we have in the right way. You have condemned yourself. You've condemned your own self. And you've lived in your luxury. You lived in all the things that you have. And you haven't thought about other people. You haven't cared about other people. You thought about yourself and your own desires and what you want. You thought about things that are yours. Let me tell you something. We've got to understand that Christianity is thinking about the other person and not ourselves. Now, that's not a natural thing. Did you have to teach your children to say, mine? You don't have to teach children. They know that. They go to school. I mean, I've seen them where they didn't have brothers and sisters to tell them, but I've seen them when they go to school and the first words they learn is, mine. And if you get mine, you're going to get them too. We don't have to teach our children that, and we don't have to teach ourselves that. What we have to teach ourselves is that we need to learn to share with other people what we have. Now, am I standing up here tonight, and I'm telling you what you've got to do is to give away everything you have? I'm not telling you that. That's foolish. That's going way past what God's trying to say. If you give everything you have away, then somebody's got to help you. So you use what you have and you take that excess and you give it to others. Understanding what God has given you. He may have blessed you with health. He may have blessed you with a good job. Other people may not be blessed. Because of their health, they may not be able to get a good job. Because of maybe their mental ability, they can't deal with some of these other jobs that might pay a lot of money. They may just do a day laborer's work. That you use what you have. And you bless other people with it. And we're going to have to give an account for how we use that. We're going to have to give an account as to how we treat other people. James is trying to say here, you that are wealthy, you need to be careful that you don't have to stand before God and give an account for that. You that are in a need, please understand you need to use what you have been given in the right way. Sometimes we say, man, if those people just use their money right, they wouldn't have a problem. Well, that may be the case with some, and it may not be the case with some. I can't judge other people. I can't judge how they use what they have. I can judge what I have and how I use what I have. I can't withhold from other people because I don't think they do it the right way. That's wrong too. I've got to help other people as best I can. Now, I'm not saying you don't just give it to people and you know that they're ripping you off. It doesn't. Honestly, Linda says I'm hard-hearted, and I am sometimes, about people that come and they ask for stuff. I don't mind asking them questions. We have people that call all the time. David Metcalf deals with those people. I've got to where I ask them, where do you go to church? I don't go to church anywhere. Why? Why don't you go to church? Had a lady one time that called me. She said, I need some money to pay my bills. I said, do you go to church? She said, yes. I said, have you asked your church? She said, well, no. And I'm thinking, why didn't she ask her own church? In fact, I think I told her that. But I'm not saying let other people cheat you. Let other people take advantage of you when you know that it's not being used right. But let's try to help other people. Let's try to teach other people. And you know one of the greatest things we can do for people in the world is teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach them to live according to the Word. Because when we do that, they'll gain wealth. They'll gain a lot of things. Even in this life, don't think God's waiting to pay us when the world ends. Aren't you being paid right now? Don't you have blessings right now? He's giving you things right now. Let's use it in the right way. That's what James is trying to say. A very practical book, a book that deals just with life. And he says, use it in the right way. Tonight, are you serving God? Are you living before God as one of His servants? I don't judge you in that. All I can do is show you what the Bible has to say. You've got to look at yourself and judge yourself. Don't judge other people. Don't look around and say, well, there's other people that are worse than I am. If you're lost, you're lost. It doesn't make any difference if you're better than somebody else and you're lost, you're still lost. Don't be that way. God will forgive you of every sin you are willing to repent of. He'll forgive you of every one of them. Now, He won't take away the consequences for those sins. Understand that. But He will forgive you of those sins. And He'll do that tonight. If you're not a Christian, He'll wash you, cleanse you, make you whole. Add you to His church. Add you to this congregation, if that's what you want to do. He'll do that. But we sing this song to encourage all of us. Please come as we stand and as we sing.